We've been talking for the last few weeks about our legacy. We've been talking about who we are as a church. I didn't bring my little pads that we usually start off with and to tell you about how what we're all about. It's on the back of your new and improved smaller bulletins there. They're just smaller and simpler, and on the back of them, it's what we're all about. We're all about loving God, loving people, and changing the world. And we talked about how when we were kids, you played that fire swamp game. I don't know if you call it fire swamp. Fire swamps, I don't believe they exist. Now, those are RUSs. That's a whole another Princess Bride thing. But we to get from point A to point, actually in this case point C. A lot of times what we do is we want you to end up being over here in a place in your life where you really love God, where you're connected with a community, where you're helping other people understand who He is. But how do you get from not knowing anything about God or maybe just outside of His influence to getting there? Well, number one, you start off but within getting in a relationship with God by loving Him. That's why we're all about loving God. That's the first thing we want to remind everybody about all the time, that we're here to love God. And then from there, you take the next step and you get connected in a community and you start to love other people. Because it's amazing how many times it's easy as a church even to get real busy and you forget. You think ministry is all about ministry. It's all about building our thing. It's all about doing our stuff and doing our programs. And we forget that it's supposed to be about loving people. It's supposed to be about connecting with people and caring for people, because that's who God cares about. So we want you to love people, and then we want you to be involved in changing the world and going and making disciples of all nations all over the place. And so that's kind of where we've been and what we've been talking about for the last few weeks. And we'll have one more week on it, and we're going to start on a new Christmas series as well. But even as we get ready and before we get into there, I told you guys I went to Disney this week. And this morning we're talking about something that actually is very difficult for me. Like a lot of times, sometimes you get to preach about stuff that you have down. And, you know, and it's fun to do that because you get to feel kind of like, you know, I totally get this. This week's message, it may not be for anyone else. Even just this morning, rereading back through the text, I was convicted afresh and anew. I mean, this is something that I need to work on. We're talking about focus. Focus is difficult. It's a difficult thing for me sometimes. But we went to Disney this week, and it was awesome. And it was because there were no lines, no waiting. I mean, we went on Thunder Mountain Railroad, got off, went back on Thunder Mountain Railroad. It was like the best. It was, because that's the bad thing about Disney is paying all that money and going in and having to stand in line for 30 minutes for a ride. But that didn't happen this week. It was incredible. But one of the first rides we went on was Buzz Lightyear, right? Went on Buzz Lightyear. Who's ridden Buzz Lightyear at Disney World? Have you ridden that one? Isn't that fun? And it's fun. It's kind of like the not quite as cool, what's the one, Spider-Man one? I can't remember, whatever the one is they have at Universal, where you go through and you get to drive this car where you ride in it. You just go where it takes you, and there's a little joystick up top, and you can spin this way or you can spin this way, and you go through and you have little laser guns on your thing, and you get to shoot targets. But whoever controls the car, which way it's facing, that really helps you determine how many points you get. And you get to keep score, which is like the best thing about a ride ever. If you can keep score and win, that's even better. But so you get to keep score, and if you hit the target with your laser, you get so many points. But if you go through the ride and all you do is sit here and spin around on the thing, you're not going to get any points. You have to make a decision at some point during this ride that, okay, here's the target that's coming up. I'm going to focus on that. And as your car goes by, you keep it focused on that, and you end up getting a lot more points than if you're just kind of going back and forth and looking at all the different ones and seeing all the stuff like that. And that's kind of what life is like a lot of times, I think. If you focus on some real important goals, if you focus on some really good stuff, or you focus on a few things, I think you will accomplish more in life than if you try to do everything. And that's how... That's how it is. And it's true at Disney World. Even again, we met some people from Texas, and it was their first time there. And we talked to them on the monorail where we're getting off, and we were walking in the park, and it was their first time ever there. And I said, "Man, welcome to Florida. Welcome to Disney World. Trying to be a good host." And so for some reason, the best piece of advice I could give them was, don't try to do everything here in a day. Just take your time, pick the rides you want to do, focus on those, get those done, and then just enjoy your day. And if you try to do it all, you'll end up exhausted with a bad memory, and you will spend a whole bunch of money to have your kids cry. And that's not any good. It's not a good thing. You have to say no to some things in order to get them. Even when there was no one there, we had to say no and decide we weren't going to do the Country Bear Jamboree or something. You know, you have to say no to some things in order to get the most out of it. I recommend saying no to It's a Small World, because it's just, they have new gondolas, and they're like uncomfortable, and that song will stick in your head all day, and... Do what? Yeah, our boat leaned over. That was kind of fun, and they had all the it was leaning the whole time. But it was for some unknown reason. There were large people on it, but on our side, and little kids on the other side. So we've all done it though. I mean, I'm a lot like, but I'm easily distracted, as you can tell. I mean, that's my thing, and it's even worse for me now because I discovered this week Facebook. You guys ever done, anybody done Facebook? You do Facebook? Well, then we want to friend you. Me and Leslie want to friend you, because now I'm like, it's incredible. It's just, and it's kind of bad though, because I go on Facebook and then my friends will come up and they'll instant message me now, like people I haven't seen in like 20 years, and I'm getting them instant messages. I'm having to talk to them, and we're playing a game, and I'm having a pet. It's kind of like Webkinz, and it's like Webkinz for grown-ups, and it's so fun. If you don't do Facebook, you should, and if you do, look me up on it. That'd be fun. But it'll distract you. What were we talking about? I'm sorry. You get distracted. It's hard to focus, isn't it? Some of you guys, you're still not even focused on me right now. You're thinking about what you're going to do for lunch. You're not, you know, you're kind of, you have like me, this kind of, I don't know, this inner ADDDDDDDD. And, but we've all done it. I mean, we all get there in life too. Haven't you? You got too much to do, not enough time to do it. You have to email, you have to text, you have to go to this place. I mean, everything's so spread out where we live here. It's like it takes you 20 minutes to drive anywhere. And so you have to go to this place. And then while you're out, you figure, well, if I'm out here, I need to go do this as well as this and this and this. And then before you know it, you've taken a whole day and then you didn't accomplish what you really wanted to start off accomplishing. It gets worse. You have little kids, because you end up being a little kid taxi. And so instead, so you have all this other stuff to do, and you get distracted. And if you're not careful, you'll go one day after another after another after another where you're so busy doing so many things that you'll get to the end of a week, a month, a year, and you'll realize, you know, I'm not sure I really left a legacy that year. I'm not sure I really did anything that mattered. I did a lot of stuff, and I was really, really busy. But the things that are most important to me, the things that really matter to God, which we talked about a couple of weeks ago, is our first question should be, what would please God? And so the things that really matter there, I'm not sure I really got those done. So when it comes to leaving a legacy, as we've been talking about, we've understood that we all leave a legacy. It's whether it's a good one or a bad one, but we're leaving some kind of legacy to our kids, to the people that live around us, the people we work with. They are getting a message from our lives. And what I propose to you this morning is that if you really want to make a lasting impact, then you need to eliminate some of the things that you do well for the sake of what you could maybe potentially do best. It's kind of like when you go on the Buzz Lightyear ride. If they gave you flashlights, you wouldn't get any points. I mean, you know, some people's lives are like a flashlight, and they're really broad, and it's not making a huge difference. But if you get a laser beam, I mean, it's like 1 point. You get everything, all that light. It's not that. I mean, they use smaller batteries. You ever had those laser pointer things? They're so fun and dangerous. And you get those laser pointers. They have little bitty batteries, but you can tell. I mean, I could sit here with a flashlight and I couldn't shine it all the way to the back of this building. If I could take that little bitty laser beam with a little bitty watch battery in it, and I could shine it. I mean, you can hit planes with it here. They don't like it when you do that. But you can. I mean, you can go really far away with that thing, and it makes a big. It makes a big difference, and it leaves a clear mark because it's focused energy. And I think that's the same thing that's going to be true with your life. If you will take the energy in your life and you will focus it on a few things rather than try to focus on a bajillion things, you'll end up leaving a greater legacy. See, I think our best memories, I think your best memories even as well as mine, are from when we laid aside the busyness and we focused on some stuff. I mean, think about it. When you think back, I mean, if just right now, if you had to think back over your life and think about, and I said, tell me a story about something you've done. Tell me a story about something fun. I may have it out of order there, so yeah, that might be me. But if you think about something that you have done in life, what are the times that you remember in life? Do you remember your vacations? You remember those, don't you? I remember when I was 16 going to Yellowstone Park, because at that time in my life, I don't remember anything else about that summer, a few things here and there, but for the most part, what I remember are the times where I said, okay, I'm setting everything else aside, and we're going to focus with my family, and we focused intentionally, said, okay, the phone's at home, the work's at home, all this, we're just focusing on each other and on this vacation. I mean, that's what happened. Your wedding, remember that? You remember your wedding? That was the time where you laid everything else aside, nothing else mattered but that, you focused on that, your honeymoon, whatever it was. That's why I think guys like to play golf. And ladies like to play golf, because you go out there and you put everything else aside and you focus on this little white ball trying to get it in a hole, which seems silly, really. But you do that for like 4 hours. That's why we like to play sports. I like to go surfing because you get out there and you don't have a BlackBerry and you're just going after it. It's why you remember your mission trips. You guys remember a good trip, a good vacation? Do you remember one or two? Okay, here's what I want to do. We're going to try a little experiment right now. I want everybody to think about your favorite vacation, and I want you to try to tell me about it in one sentence, and we're going to do it all at the same time. Okay, are you ready? On the count of three, I want you to tell me about where it was you went, what you did, and what you liked best about it. You ready? One, two, three. Okay, I heard only Disney Cruise in Vail, Colorado. I heard a lot of stuff there, but I could only kind of pick out one or two things. See, and I think that's true. That's what happens in life as well, is we have all this stuff coming at us, and you have all these voices and all this noise coming into your life, and if you never get away from that and never just say, okay, I'm going to put all that stuff aside and focus on a few things. That's why I encourage you to spend time every day just alone, you and God in His Word, but get all that noise out of your life and say, okay, I'm going to focus on some things that really matter. Because if you don't intentionally do that, you'll never really be able to hear it. According to a study that was done by an advertising research firm, this guy Malcolm Gladwell wrote a book called The Tipping Point, and he shared this in it. He said that whenever there were at least four different 15-second commercials in a 2.5-minute commercial timeout, the effectiveness of any one 15-second ad sinks to zero. So these people paid all this money to get their commercial on there, but when there were too many of them, nobody remembers any of them. That's why when I usually talk to you, I usually try to make just one big point. When I first started preaching, I would try to make 7 points, and I realized nobody remembers 7 points, except for maybe I have a friend in our next service that can do that. He can tell me all of them. But there's only one person I've met that can do that. So what I try to do is try to take the text, say, here's the big idea of the text. I want you to remember this one. We want to focus all our energy on that one thing. We can do another test with that right now. I'll just show you how it works. You ready? I want you to remember these numbers. 7, 22, 43, 97, 62, 104, 17. Okay, somebody tell me all those numbers. Are you like Rain Man, are you? All right. All right, that illustration didn't work. Never mind. No, I'm just kidding. Now everybody can do this, though. Watch this. Let's say 7, 7, 7, 7, 7. 7, 7, 7. See? Isn't that easier? It's so much easier. And you will remember 7. You won't remember 23, 92. I mean, you might eventually if you're like Rain Man, but you're not going to remember that stuff. And so it's true in your life as well. When you can focus on a few things, on one or two things, then you're going to make a bigger and greater impact. In fact, the only blank you have to fill in, which I don't even, yeah, there it is right there. The less you do, the more you accomplish. The less you do in life, the more you accomplish. And that's counterintuitive to what we really want to believe, because we want to believe that we can Twitter, text, email, talk to somebody on the phone, watch TV, do all this stuff at the same time. And the reality is, the more focused you are, the more effective you are. We're not the first people to have to deal with this issue. And in fact, Jesus had some friends named Mary and Martha that he went to visit in Luke chapter 10. And he goes to their house. And when he shows up, Mary is kind of like me. She's really busy. She's active. She's involved in ministry. I mean, Martha is like me. Martha's a real, real busy and active. And Mary is kind of focusing more on what it's really all about here. We'll just read it together, and I'll share this with you. In Luke chapter 10, verse 38, they went on their way. This is Jesus and his disciples. So you got Jesus and 12 guys, right? Can you imagine? They just show up, and they don't have big houses. I mean, houses are probably maybe this size right here or smaller. I mean, so they got Jesus and 12 guys show up at your house. They entered a village. A woman named Martha welcomed them into her house, and she had a sister called Mary. And look what Mary did. Mary sat at the Lord's feet and listened to his teaching. So Mary sits at the Lord's feet and listens to his teaching. So Jesus and 12 disciples show up. Now, what do you think needs to happen if 12 people show up at your house? Yeah, you've got to have a place for people to sit. They traditionally had people, someone wash their feet, which they think maybe Mary had started off doing that. And then you have to, make sure everybody has enough to, get drinks for everybody. You've got to get food. You've got to make sure that the cat is locked in the bedrooms, so the people that are allergic to it don't sneeze. And you have to do all these things. So there's a ton of stuff to be done, as those of you that are hosting people for Thanksgiving know, that there's a lot of work that goes into preparing. you know, for company. So they're doing all this, but look, and Mary, who lives there as well, she does not help. She just sits at the Lord's feet and listens to his teaching. And look at verse 40. But Martha was distracted with much serving. See, Martha is busy. She's not doing bad things. She's doing good things. But I like the Bible uses that word, distracted. She's distracted not because she's Twittering or doing Facebook or text messaging. She's distracted because she's actually serving the Lord. And she thinks that because she's busy and she's serving God that, man, she must be doing what's right. But the Bible doesn't commend her for that. It says she was distracted. It's always dangerous to confuse activity with results. So what we do as Americans, I think, a lot of times is we mistake busyness for effectiveness. We think that because we're busy, because we're going from sunup to sundown, that we must be valuable, that we must be doing something that really matters. And that's not necessarily the case. And we do it with ministries as well. Even if we get really, 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 really busy, and then what happens, what I've seen happen in my past, and I struggle with it even now, even though intentionally as a church we're trying not to do this, I get so busy that I don't have time to go out and talk to my neighbor across the street. I'm working on church stuff and not spending time with my kids. I'm busy, but I'm not doing what matters the most to God. And that's where Martha is, and she's mistaking busyness for effectiveness. And so she goes up, and here's what happens when you get there and you start to feel frazzled, is you start to maybe accuse people that you shouldn't accuse. You start to confront people that you shouldn't confront. You start to think that you are the one that tells God what to do, because, God, I'm doing all this stuff for you, so surely you should do what I want you to do, because, you know, I'm putting my money in the plate, I'm putting my time in, I'm doing what you want me to do, so maybe you could come and do what you'll just do what I want you to do. And so that's what Martha does, because she's not even asking for a bad thing, but she goes up to Jesus. And it's funny, she just calls him Lord, which if you call him Lord, it means he's boss of your life. Do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Now that's bad. See, that's what happens when you get frazzled, right? You feel like you're the only one. When you get so busy, nobody else cares as much as I do, or they would be working as hard as I am. Nobody cares as much as me. And Jesus, maybe you don't even care. God, don't you care that I'm so busy? Can't you send someone to help? She went to him and said, Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Tell her then to help me. She doesn't ask Jesus. She says, Jesus, here's what you need to do. God, have you done that? God, here's what you need to do. We do that. That's a dangerous thing to do. That's exactly what Martha does. And it's because she's so busy. The Lord answered her and said, Martha, Martha, you are anxious and troubled about many things. But one thing is necessary. And that's what we're all about here. That's the one thing I want everybody to understand here. There's one thing in life that matters. One thing is going to, because all of us, I have a good friend whose father died yesterday morning. He passed away. You know what the reality is? One day, I don't want to bum you out, but everybody that we love, I mean, our kids or whoever it is, there's going to be somebody, hopefully somewhere, that's going to say, you know what? Mike passed away a couple days ago. There's going to come that day where we're all going to pass away. This life on this earth doesn't last forever. And the one thing that's going to matter to you after that happens, there's one thing. It's not going to be if you got everything done on your daytime, or it's not going to be if you got, you know, 40,000 things accomplished. One thing that's going to matter to you is the same thing that mattered to Mary, is that if you knew and you had a relationship with Jesus Christ, because that's how you get forgiven for sin. You don't get forgiven for sin by being busy and working. You get forgiven for your sin by turning away from your sin and trusting Jesus Christ, placing your faith in him, surrendering to him. Because he died on a cross not just so that we could have an Easter story or something like that. He died on a cross because our sin had to be paid for. And so anybody that places their faith in him can be forgiven. That's the one thing that is necessary to know him. And he said that Mary has chosen the good portion, which will not be taken away from her. And so those of you that are Christians in here today, I just want to ask you, even if you're not, are you so busy in life that you've forgotten what it's really all about? Are you so busy with ministry? Are you so busy with stuff that you forget? You know, it's like we get so busy working to provide for our family that we don't provide time with them. We don't provide a relationship with them. We don't provide what really matters. We get so busy just in life that a week can go by and we can realize we haven't spent a week on what really, really matters. We talked last week about a guy who was really, really effective, who left a great legacy. His name is Paul. He wrote 2/3 of the New Testament. Everywhere he went, he plants churches. He's an incredible, incredible guy. He was laser focused. We saw last week that his focus was on pleasing God. That was what drove him. Ultimately, the question he always asked before he did anything, what would please God in this situation? And he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, he's explaining this church at Philippi, which is a great church. He's writing this letter to them, and he says, not that I've already attained this or I'm already perfect. He said, you know what? I haven't arrived. You know what? And that's the thing. When you meet people that are Christians or whoever they are and they think they have it all together, aren't they usually the most annoying people? They're usually the people that are judging you. They're usually the people that are looking down on you because they think, well, I've arrived. I got it all figured out, and you don't have it all figured out. Well, here's the Apostle Paul, the guy with the greatest legacy in probably all of Christianity aside from Jesus, and he's saying, you know what? I'm not there yet. I'm still working towards something. I still have a goal that I'm working toward. I don't think I've arrived. I'm not already perfect, but you know what I do? I press on to make it my own because Christ Jesus has made me his own. That's an amazing verse right there. Do you realize that if you've came to the place in your life where you turn from your sin and you place your faith in Christ, that Jesus Christ has made you his own? You didn't make yourself his own. He gave you faith to trust him. He loves you. He'll never let you go. Jesus has made you his own. But now here's the thing. He made you his own and you're still here, right? Everybody here, raise your hand. If you're here, everybody's still here. Okay, here's something I know about you if you're here. If you're still here, God has a purpose for you being here. There's a reason you're still. There's a reason he didn't just make you his own and take you to heaven, because he can have uninterrupted fellowship with you in heaven. You don't have to fight sin or anything like that. God left you here for a reason. That's why I just want to encourage you guys. Think about it. Say, you know, for the next week or month or year, I'm going to focus on these three things, and I'm going to accomplish these things for God that would please God if we do that. But anyway, he says, he made me his own. Brothers, I do not consider that I have made it my own. In other words, I don't think I've arrived. I don't think I've accomplished it all yet. But one thing I do, he's laser focused. He said, you know what? The less I do, the more I accomplish. Forgetting what lies behind. Forgetting what lies behind. And see, some of you guys are using your past as an excuse. You're saying, I did this or that, God can't use me. Or you're looking at the past and saying, boy, those were the great days of ministry or whatever it was. And as a new church, you deal with this. Really, any church you deal with this. You always have people that come and they'll say this. Nobody in here does this, but people come. And they say, okay, here's how we did church at my old church. And so this is what we're supposed to do. You're supposed to have this ministry, and it's supposed to all go like this. Listen, as a church, we know what we're all about. We're about loving God, loving people, changing the world. And we're going to keep it simple. We're going to focus on that. We're not trying to figure out what we're going to do. We know what we're going to do. We're trying to get together and focus our energies on loving God, loving people, change the world, and moving forward with that. That's who we are and what we're doing. So we forget what the past was, and we're straining forward. It's straining forward to what lies ahead. Paul says, you know what? I am intentionally laser-focused on accomplishing the goal of glorifying God in my life, of doing what God put me here to do. He's working, and listen, working toward a goal will make your life better. It just totally will. You guys ever get in kind of a, I don't even know how to say it, a funk? You ever get kind of low-grade, kind of little depression kind of stuff? You know, sometimes, I don't even know how to really describe it. I'm no psychologist or anything. But you know, you just have times in your life where you just feel like it's just meaningless, and it's just, man, the same thing tomorrow that I did yesterday. I think one of the things that will help you get out of that is if you sit down, you get some time alone, you say, okay, God, what are some things that would make my family's life better? What are some things that would make my life better? What are some things that would please you? And you just pick one or two things. You write those things down. You say, okay, the next week, the next month, the next year, this is what I'm going to go for. How cool would that be if you look back, you said, okay, by Christmas, between November and December, here's what I did for God. I got out of debt. I helped, you know, three people, or I helped this one person, whatever it was. But get some goals that'll make you better. That's what Paul had them, and he was focused on those. And he said, you know, I press on toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. He was working toward a goal. Paul focused his life and energy on pleasing God and planting churches. And as a church, you know, really methods change, but the goals remain the same. Every church you'll go to that's biblical is going to say we're all about loving God, loving people, and changing the world. And there are a lot of different ways they do that, because I think God's given different churches a little bit different DNA and different ways to do it. So I just want to share with you for a minute how we want to do it. There's a guy named Jim Collins. He wrote a book, Good to Great. And in Good to Great, he talks about a fox and a hedgehog. A fox is really, really smart. And he knows all kind of different ways to get to a hedgehog. Hedgehog knows one thing. Hedgehog knows, fox comes, I roll up in a ball, stick my quills out, he won't get me. That's all he knows. Fox is really, really smart, really, really busy, really, really sly. He's got all these tricks up his sleeve. Can't get the hedgehog, because all the hedgehog does is one thing, over and over again. He says, you know what, this is what we're going to do. As a church, we want to be a hedgehog. We want to say, okay, this is what we do. We're about loving God, loving people, all the extra rules, all the other stuff. It's about loving God, loving people, changing the world. See, because in ministry, just and in your life as well, just because you can do something doesn't mean you should do it. And if you're not careful, you'll get really, really busy and not accomplish what really matters in life. When we started this church, I read a book called Simple Church. It was a study of tons of churches. They found the most effective ones were focused on a few things. And the guys that wrote that book said that focus is the commitment to abandon everything that falls outside of the simple ministry process. I was up in Atlanta one time, and I was listening to a guy who was used to be he worked at a church, but he used to be a Chick-fil-A executive. And do you remember when Hardee's, like 20 years ago or whatever it was, they came out with fried chicken? They didn't used to have fried. Now they have tacos. They have everything at Hardee's. But when Hardee's came out with fried chicken, somebody came up to him at Chick-fil-A and said, "Well, man, Hardee's is coming out with chicken. Are you guys going to come out with burgers? What are you going to do?" They said, "You know what we're going to do? We're going to keep doing chicken. We do chicken. We don't do burgers. We do chicken. We focus on that." Although you ever been to a Dwarf House? I went to a Dwarf House and actually got a burger. It's kind of weird. It's the same company, but Chick-fil-A. They focused on chicken. One of the best burger companies in the world is In-N-Out Burger, which I've never been there, but I was trying to tell a friend from California that Five Guys is the best burger in the world, but they said that In-N-Out was better. And if you go on In-N-Out's website, you know what they have on their menu when you pull up? It's a great place because you don't have to figure out which meal you want. There's three choices. When you go to In-N-Out Burger, you can get a double-double, you can get a cheeseburger, or you can get a hamburger. That's it. And you get fries and a drink. I mean, but that's it. It's not complicated. It's not complex. And they're one of the most effective and powerful companies in America today. They're because they're focused. They're laser focused on a few things. They're not trying to do everything. They said, this is what we're good at. This is what we're going to focus on. And here's the thing. A pastor named Craig Groeschel said, if you need to plan what you won't do that most do to best do what God has called you to do. You get that? You didn't, no. Did you? Okay, let me say it again. Plan what you won't do that most do to do best what God called you to do. What he's saying is you're gonna have to make a don't list. In your life, as a ministry, we have to make a don't list. In your life, you have to make a don't list. Because if you just say whatever comes up in front of me today, that's what I'm going to go. Oh, there's something shiny over there. Oh, there's an instant message. Or there's something there. And you go after that, you're not going to accomplish what God put you on this planet to accomplish. And you're going to live a life unfocused and distracted. And there's a book in the Old Testament called Nehemiah. And Nehemiah went back to Jerusalem to rebuild the wall around the city for protection. And he goes back to build this wall, and he's got enemies. One of them is named Sanballat, which is kind of a funny name. Sanballat, and another one named Geshem. They came up to him. They kept trying to come up to him and say, hey, come down and talk to us. Come on, Nehemiah, we want to talk to you. Sit down with no, what's that word they use now a lot? With no preconditions. Just come down and talk to us with no preconditions, Nehemiah. And Nehemiah said, you know what? I'm not going to do it. He told him, he came three times after him. Every time in Nehemiah 6:3, you might jot it down, but you can look it up later. Nehemiah says, you know what? I can't come down for you. Here's his exact words. He said, I am doing a great work. I can't stop and come meet with you. See, listen, one reason so many people, even so many ministries sometimes are unfocused is because they've forgotten or they don't believe that they're here for a great work. You're not here by accident. God's got you here. He's got your kids in your life, your neighbors around you, the people you work with around you on purpose, and you're here to make a difference. And if you don't focus on that, you might miss it. And because you forget that, you come down and you get distracted in all kinds of things that don't have anything to do with making your family a better family, with helping you be a healthier person, with helping your community. And you're involved in all these things that don't do that. Because you've forgotten that you're here for a great work. And our great work is to love God, love people, and change the world. Focus is a really good thing as a church. I think it's going to make us a healthy church. And it's a good thing until we have to say no to something that you want to do. See, it's fun, and we're all for it as long as we're saying no to what other people want to do. But when we say no to some of the stuff that we like. And see, here, I just want to be up front with you guys and let you know as a church, as we grow, here's what we're going to focus on. Five things, basically. I mean, I know I said three, but there's five kind of ministries. One is Sunday mornings. It's all about this environment here. Number two is going to be small groups. We're going to focus on small groups. And three is going to be children's ministry. We're going to minister to kids usually on Sunday mornings and maybe do some fun stuff with them. Four, we don't have it yet. It's student ministry. We need that. If you have a heart for students, talk to me. I'd love to get that going maybe 10 o'clock up there or something. We need to get something going on for middle school and high school students. Four is going to be community involvement and missions. Did I say four twice? I did. I'm not sure. But anyway, it's going to be, see, I get five and I get confused. But it's community involvement and missions. We want you to be involved in ministry. We want to be at Heritage Landing. We want to be involved in this community, a part of the community, and doing missions around the world. That's it. And you may be listening to those five things. Sunday mornings, children's ministry, small groups, student ministry, and community involvement. And you say, you know what, Mike, I didn't hear anything about a Christian school. I didn't hear anything about Awanus. That's right. I didn't hear anything about a motorcycle ministry, a fishing ministry, which I would really kind of like, I think. A tattoo cross-stitch ministry or whatever it would be. You know, all these extra things that come in. And what I'm saying, those things aren't necessarily bad. Not a men's ministry, not a women's ministry, not that they're bad. We're going to have men to get together, study the Bible, go hunting together. Have women to get together, study the Bible, go out and reach the community. We're just not going to say this is not a big arm. We're not a church with 1,000 arms on it. You know, we have women that love God that are involved in the community, but there's not a set aside, this is the women's ministry, or this is the men's ministry, or this is Awana's, because you all need an extra night. One thing we don't do, and right now, and it may change, I don't think it will, Vacation Bible School. And I don't even know why I'm throwing that in there. It's just because you know what? There are good churches around here that do Vacation Bible School all over the, and what I tell you guys to do, go volunteer and help them. If you've got a heart for that, man, go help them. Because, man, they're doing a great thing. But I'm telling you, there's not a week of this summer that you can't go to Vacation Bible School somewhere here and hear the gospel. I don't think we need to put our energy and our resources into that right now. So I encourage you to do that. Or even with the Awana's, whatever it is, you know, whatever that is. But just go help them, because it's about a kingdom. It's not about our little thing here. So I want you to be involved wherever you want to be involved. See, everyone chooses not to do something. Everyone does. You chose not to do something this morning. Some of you chose not to sleep, and that's why you're here. Some of you chose not to whatever it is, and that's why you came. You choose not to do something every day. We're just going to be more intentional about it. You've been letting other people choose what you don't do. Because the phone rang, and so you stop whatever it is you were doing, you take care of this, or you do whatever it is, and you let other people make that decision for you. I just want to encourage you to make that decision for yourself. See, good things are not necessarily God things. Just because it's good, I want you to go out and try to do the most good. If you don't have any other idea, do that. But find out what it is God wants you to do and do that with your life. Here's my question for you. Are you too busy? Are you? Are you missing the most important thing? The most important thing in this life is not with your religious experience. It's not your career. It's not your hobby. The most important thing in this life is whether or not you know Christ. And do you have time where you spend time with Him every day? Or have you come to the place in your life where you've given Him your heart? I want to encourage you to do that today if you haven't. That's what it's all about. Yeah, how many of you play golf? You play golf? I play golf. I hate golf. I'm not really good at it, but I'm fast. And one of the things about golf that I've realized is I enjoy it more. I enjoy it less, because what happens when you go to do a golf swing, right? You have to remember, keep your head down, keep your back straight, keep this left arm straight. And I start to think about all those things, and man, you can nail that ball. Man, and it just goes way really far off. It goes the wrong way, even though I made great contact. And if I think about it too much, it seems like a mess up. But you know what? If I go out there and I think about what matters when I'm playing golf, what matters is, A, get the ball in the hole. But really, to me, I just play golf for the fellowship. I play golf, and I think I'm going to enjoy the people I'm with. I'm going to have a good time. I'm going to make them laugh. I'm going to laugh. And if I can, you know, if I was better at golf, I'd probably be more competitive. But I'm going to try to find more golf balls than I lose, and I'll be good, you know. But if you focus on the picture, it helps you. It makes you, and you just enjoy your day better. Imagine the difference we could make together if as a group we came together and said, you know what we're all about? We're going to make, even forget all those other things. We said, you know what, we're going to make the Crab Shack the best place to be at 8:30 on Sunday morning. Because we know people can come here, hear who God is, maybe fall in love with Him. It can help their families. It'll help everything. What if we just made this the best possible environment for life change that we could? If we were all laser focused on that and we said, you know what, we're going to do it. I think we wouldn't be able to meet in this room for a while. Whatever it would be. But it's not even about getting a big crowd. What I want is, if there's only 10 people here, if those 10 people come and they say, you know what, I know people there love me and I heard from God, that's worth it. That's so worth it. You could actually help God, work with God in changing someone's life. Working and getting involved in a ministry somewhere like that. But if we all work together, I think it'd be a better, the world would be a better place. I think your life would be better. Imagine if instead of just letting whatever popped up control our attention, if we lived next week, just this week, focused, said at the beginning of the week, here are the three things I want to make sure get done. And you were laser focused on that. You would do less, maybe, according to what everybody said, but you would accomplish more. That's what I want you to do. See, because I think a lot of us are on the Buzz Lightyear ride. And instead of focusing on one target, we've just kind of been going, wow, look at all the shiny stuff. Look at all the lights. If you just slow it down and you say, okay, God, this is what you want me to do. And you know what? Even like we said last week, even if I'm not sure this is what you want me to do, but I think this is what you want me to do, I'm going to move toward that. And if you start going toward that, God will guide you. He'll direct you to exactly what He wants. Does that make sense? Please, if you haven't trusted Christ, give Him your heart right now. Let's pray together just for a moment. And maybe in this moment, you'd say, you know what, Mike? I've never given my heart to Jesus, but today, I want to trust Him. I just want to encourage you. Just tell Him that. Just smile in your heart. Say, Jesus, help me believe in You. I believe in You. I place my faith in You. I know that I've sinned against You, and I want to turn away from that, and I want to trust You. I believe You died on that cross for my sin, and I want to give my life to You. Those of you that are Christians, I encourage you to say, you know what? And in fact, if that's your heart, then that's what it means to be a Christian. It's not some big religious thing. It's having a relationship with Jesus. Those of us that are followers of Christ, maybe in these moments you say, God, what are the two or three things you want me to focus on? Or maybe what's the one big thing you want me to focus on this week that I've been neglecting? God, show me what I can do. Show me what you want me to do. Lord, give me the faith, the strength, and courage to do it. Father, I'm so convicted by this, especially the story of Mary and Martha, because God, I get so busy. And Lord, I'm not busy doing bad stuff. God, I get busy doing things that are good, but so many times, God, I get busy doing things that are good and neglect the things that are best. And Lord, I pray that you will help me to focus on what matters most. Help us as a church and as a ministry to focus on a few things and do them well and really make an impact with them. Lord, let us be like a laser beam, not just a flashlight. Lord, please, for everyone here, God, I pray that their lives would be focused on your will for their life, Lord. So many things come into our lives every day to distract us, God, and we need you to give us faith to help us to see clearly what it is you want for our lives. And I pray that for everyone here, God, that they would see that, even in this moment, and that we would orient our lives and be laser focused on that. I ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.